Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. This morning I have with me Dr. Rosina Bakari. She is, hold on, let me move my thing over here. Yeah, see, I told you it was free flowing. Rosina is a transformational author, empowerment psychologist, and fierce advocate for emotional liberation. I love that phrase. I want to know a lot more about that. She's a seven-time author, spoken word artist, I love that too, educator, and fourth-degree black belt who brings decades of lived experience to her mission of helping people reclaim their inner authority and live lives they don't have to escape from. Dr. Bakari holds a PhD in psychology and published her first empowerment book in 1996. Been doing this a while, so have
Yeah.
I. Her newest release, Seven Exits, Leave Behind What No Longer Serves You, introduces her groundbreaking SEEDS model, subtle experiences of emotional disempowerment, and invites readers to start living with authenticity and agency. Whether she's leading retreats, supporting mental health professionals, or out on her bold and gentle national tour, Dr. Bakari reminds us that transformation doesn't begin by becoming someone new, but by daring to depart from what's been holding us back. I love that definition of transformation. Welcome, Dr. Bakari.
Thank you. It is great to be here. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Excellent. Well, first of all, let me start by asking you about this last book that you've written, Seven Exits. I'm very curious about what Seven Exits actually means.
Okay, well, thank you. That's a great place to start. So I have been on all sides of the helping genre. So I've been a counselor. I have trained counselors, and I've also been a client. And so I have a broad perspective of what it means to need help and what it means to receive help in a personal way and in a professional way. So when I started doing my own empowerment practice, it was important for me to address what I saw as the flaws in help in pursuing help and in receiving help. And one of the biggest flaws I found was that people didn't know what they need. So when I go to the doctor for a stomach ache, all I know is my stomach aches and I want that to stop. So what the doctor has to do is, I mean, one, I can just take some Tums. I've done that a lot, right? And what happens, then you just spend years taking Tums. But you don't address the root issue until someone who really knows what the body is supposed to do, because I don't know what the body is supposed to do. So similarly, when people come to receive emotional help, we just know what hurts. You know, we ended a relationship, we can't get along, we got fired, we feel depressed, but we don't really know the system. And so I wanted to create a practice that help people better understand and identify the roots of what they were bringing, not just what the stomach ache, not just what is the symptom you're having today, but what is your overall experience with your mind and how you're showing up in the world, which is what a good doctor does, right? Not just treat the symptom. And so that was important. And so in researching all of that, what it came down to with my own healing and with supporting others, it was that people were constantly focusing on where they wanted to be. And that's what most of the self-help is, where you want to
Oh, yeah.
be, tell you how to get where you want to be. What I found was that people knew where they wanted to be. They even had plenty of roadmaps to get there. What they didn't know was how to leave where they are. You cannot
Yes.
get where you want to be if you don't know how to leave where you are. And
Like
so the
that,
focus
yeah.
was always on something further away instead of looking at what's here. And so I started putting together my own ideas and ideals about what it means to understand where you are and how you leave this space right now. And so that's what the seven X's are. The seven X's are the rims, seven rims of life that trap us in limited potential because we don't want to lead. So, for example, the first exit is hyperego. So we can see the path there, but I'll be darned if your hyperego will not stick you right where you are. It doesn't matter that you know how to get there if your ego is constantly in defense mode. It doesn't, because you'll get in your own way if you, one, don't understand how your ego is operating for you, and two, how to contain it and harness it so that it's no longer an obstacle to you. The realm of silence and secrecy. If we're trying to get there and hold on to our secrets, we will be limited. So those are the seven X's. So it's seven X's that really have us look at, where are you now, and what is your willingness to leave this space?
Yeah, so you talk to people about what are you getting out of hanging on to this thing or this space?
I talk to people. So my job, just like the doctor says, oh, this is why your stomach is hurting. That's what the X's are. It's like, this is why you can't leave here, because your ego's in the way, because you're carrying silence and secrecy, because you are sticking to the indoctrination that is irrelevant to where you're trying to go in your life, that you don't know how to get out of stagnant relationships. So it looks at these, it gives you this, just like the doctor said, okay, I know it's your stomach, but really what it is that your asthma is triggering it because you're not taking your medication on medication. So it tells me all the things that are connected to why my stomach hurts. And that's what seven
Okay.
is. It shows you all the things that are connected to why you can't get there.
So it's about what's holding you where you are and
Yes.
why you're allowing that.
Yes. Right. And
Okay.
how to exit that realm or that room. How do you get out of that space? Because as long as you are committed to this space, because leaving it feels too scary or too risky, then you're going to struggle getting the life that you really want.
And you said that you actually have experienced some of this yourself as a patient, as well as a clinician, so or a psychologist. Where have you experienced that in your life, and how did it impact you?
So I started living openly in many ways. I started living openly as an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse back in 2016, and did a lot of work in that area. Did a lot of writing, and again on both sides of the couch. This is post PhD and everything else, right? And so I was trapped in a realm of silence and secrecy. What began to change when I let go of that secret and start living openly? But that was just realm. That's the thing. People think it's one thing. It's not one thing, right? And so that's why
True.
these seven are all important. Along with that, there was indoctrination that kept me in that silence and secrecy. There were relationships that I was holding on to that kept me in that. So it's not one thing. So we have to have an idea of these seven things that really impact how it is that we are showing up in the world. So there are, I still use it today. I still, even in writing and publishing this book, when fear comes up and being able to, oh, what are you afraid of? What do you need to release in order for the fear to go into the atmosphere where it belongs? Because it doesn't need to have space in living inside me, not guiding me toward decisions. And so when I understand this, then I show up differently. When I finally accept that I cannot eat dairy, then I have way fewer stomach aches, right? I don't keep trying it, but it took me years to accept that I can't possibly be allergic to dairy, right? I love ice cream too much. No one who loves ice cream this much would be allergic to dairy, right? And so
Yeah,
we
that's
do
just
so many.
cruel.
Exactly. So it can't be me who need to separate from my family. What? That can't be possible. No, I need this. This is something I'm born to have or experience. And so when we understand, one, we need language, we need understanding, we need tools. So all of that has to be a system that gets us out of this space. And it's really difficult to do it alone with no guidance. So you have to have something that anchors you. And so seven exits will anchor people.
Okay. So when someone comes to you with these being stuck, obviously being stuck in some of these realms, as you mentioned, what is the first thing that you have them do?
Well, it depends on what symptom they're identifying with. So oftentimes people come typically with relationship issues, one shape or another. It's the problem that someone else is giving them.
Yeah,
Right. And
it's never their fault.
so
It's never their
it's
thing.
never, 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 never. And so the first place that I try to steer them to is looking within. Agency. So I ask the question, what is your agency? What power do you have in moving where you want to be? What do you see as getting in your way? And so I teach people how to have curious questions about themselves. Because if I can do that, that goes a long way. And so, what if we stop looking at the problem as something outside of you and accept it? That if something within you changes, it will then change what's happening on the outside. If I can get them to buy into that proposition, then we can do some real work. But it takes time because, people will say, oh, that feels like gaslighting. Oh, that feels, why do I have to solve this problem? They're the ones who betrayed me or whatever. So that's a difficult concept. That's why we start with hyperego. What is it that your ego
Okay.
trying to defend you from? What is it? What is the threat that your ego keeps showing you? And how is it trying to protect you? Is it making you defensive? Is it making you too compliant with everything and everyone and fearful of saying no when you mean it? How is it protecting you? So getting people to understand that they are not their thoughts and they are not their feelings. But that sounds like crazy talk too, right? Well, then if I'm not my thoughts or feelings, then who am I? And
Right.
so that's why it takes some real understanding of what it is, of how that system works together. I'll give you another example. I have a lot of body mind connection examples because that
Okay.
the connection is really important. I have trouble, I have a lot of pain in my knee. And it's so difficult for me to understand it. I know where it comes from now. I've been working with it. But when I go to the physical therapist and he keeps telling me, it's not your knee, it's your hip. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm pretty sure with pain, he's like, it's not your knee, it's your hip. And so it's amazing that what I noticed is that the pain in the knee comes from pain in your hip. Your hamstring, your leg, but it's rarely, the problem is rarely your knee. It's not your knee. That's only where you feel it. And when I can get people to understand that it's a system that's working, so we should not focus on the pain point. That's interesting for people because people like to focus on the pain point. So that's the goal when I start working with people is get them to take their focus off of the pain point and start understanding the system of well-being and empowerment.
Wow. Okay. So taking focus off of the pain point is incredibly difficult. The first thing I thought of was childbirth. I was of the age when I had my child that they were saying, oh, all you have to do is breathe, do all the natural stuff. And I was like, yeah, no. I got wheeled in, raising my hand. Give me that epidural right now. I think partly because I was holding on to the notion that I couldn't do it. Somebody had told me I was pain, not pain sensitive. Like, I don't have a big threshold for pain. And so once I had that in my head, I believed that about myself. And so I didn't even consider the thought that I could do something different because that was already embedded in my head that I wouldn't be able to do a natural childbirth. And by the way, I agree with my epidural decision. However, so as a coach, one of the things that I like to ask people when I notice that they're kind of stuck and they don't, for whatever reason, don't feel like they can move forward, what are you pretending not to know? And it's not a question that I made up. It's from Susan Scott, in a crucial, not crucial conversations. Anyway, but her book was the first time that I read that question. I love that question from a coaching perspective because it forces you to put that mirror up in front of yourself and acknowledge, yes, I have a mole on my nose. And the mole on my nose has been there forever, and I'm used to it. I love my mole on my nose, and I don't want to get rid of it because then that means that I'm not adequate as I am. So I love the fact that you start with the hyper ego because I think most of us love our hyper ego. Because it has kept us safe for so long. So, talk to me a little bit about how you have experienced your hyper ego in a situation that kind of mirrors what you're talking about in the book.
Sure, absolutely. So I have been happily married for 30 something, 34 years, something like that. And so it's interesting because I say that there are two type of people, men or partners, I'll say, that can really keep you from reaching your potential. One is a bad partner. One is a good partner, a great partner, not a good partner, a great partner. And my husband is a great partner. So great that because I had developed these coping mechanisms that made me believe that invisibility was a superpower, even with all the skills and talent, Ivy League graduate, PhD, black belt, blah, 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 blah. So I was very good at achieving, but I was very attached to achieving in ways that didn't necessarily have to be noticed or celebrated. And
Okay.
so I spent a lot of years, most of my years, and like you and the epidural, I don't have regrets about it. I just see it from a different lens now. I spent most of my years supporting my husband, who so deserved it, who was really just taking very good care of me. But what I realized is that as much humility as I thought that wasn't about humility. It was about fear. It was about fear. When I looked at it and saw, oh, you think you're sacrificing for this man? You sacrificing for this man? You are hiding, right?
Wow,
And so again, like the epidural, it's not. I didn't have any regrets about taking care of my children, and that, in fact, it was even my husband who insisted that I get my PhD, and so I did, and even still, it was a lot of I'll follow you, I'll support you, even when I didn't like it, but it was like what I had to do, or whatever. But the truth is, when I look and I look myself in the mirror and I check in with my hyper ego, it's like, yes, you have been afraid to be seen. Thus, me starting my own practice and business in my late 50s, right?
Yes,
On into
yes.
my 60s, where I could have done this a long time ago, or I would have done it differently a long time. I would have done it differently had I not been afraid to be seen.
Well, that makes so much sense. How many of us are afraid to be seen?
Right, especially women in their 50s and 60s and 70s who grew up in a time where we were told not to be seen.
Well, and actually, I'm the opposite. I wasn't told to not be seen. I refused to not be seen. So I was the opposite. I was the annoying kid who stood out, and showed off. And it was frowned upon, if you recall the show offs, the bossy ones. So I grew up believing that I was too much. And so there was a time, when that became a liability for me. But then I decided pretty early on that I needed that control. I needed to control how out there I was going to be. And so my thing is not invisibility, it's control. So it's interesting how different people come up and make things mean things in their heads
Absolutely.
and just hang on to that as if it's the God's gospel truth, their whole lives.
Right. And that's why understanding the hyperego is so important because it's so individualized. And you have to be able to understand how it is serving you.
And it does. I mean, it's a legitimate thing. It came from a place where you needed it, right? And so to walk away from it is very difficult. And to do something
Right.
different is not just very difficult, sometimes it's impossible, right? So
Right. Takes a lot of practice.
it takes a lot of practice. Exactly. So what would you say to someone who is really struggling right now with their place in the world, struggling with their identity or a big challenge that they're facing? What words of wisdom do you give them?
I would say something very simplistic that would make them roll their eyes, which is release the struggle. Release. Right. So oftentimes we get attached to the struggle. So when we talk about hyperego, right, and how it's working and how it's protecting us, without realizing it, we can become attached to the struggle. We can be defined by this thing that we think has us. And it doesn't matter if it's an identity or an emotional state, but we can cling to what it is that we feel. And so, for example, let's say depression. Let's call it a and let's deal with the emotion. I'm just depression. I'm just depressed. I'm stuck here. I can't feel anything else. When we take that on, and we say, I am this, I am depressed, I am a whatever it is. We accept it as an identity. We don't see those fleeting moments where that might not exist. So let's say if you're stuck in depression, and I'm like, okay, if that's where it is, I would say, what does it look like? What does it feel like? If this is your state of being, then you should be able to tell me how it looks, how it feels, smell, when it's showing up. If you're gonna own this experience, then describe it to the T, attach to it, commit to it, right? Commit to it so that when it's not present, you will notice it. Because that's what happens. We just accept it as generally, just like we accept anything else when we generally notice something. We don't then look to see where the nuances are. So did you notice that? You were not depressed for those 4 hours when you were at work, or that 1 hour that you were on public transportation, or that 30 minutes you were listening to the music. So yes, you feel overwhelmed by this sense of depression. So notice it fully, describe it, understand it, see how it's showing up so that in any little space or gap that is not showing up, you can then begin to notice what it feels like when it's not there. And then we can make that part bigger.
Look at the elements that are present when you are feeling better. I mean, I'm saying it very simplistically, but when you're feeling better, notice what's going on around you so that you can
Right.
replicate that more.
Right.
Yeah, as a depression, I am I have I'm not going to say I am. I have clinical depression, yes.
Yep.
And
Yep.
I definitely could describe that state of being. And luckily, through therapy and unfortunately medication, but that's what it took for many years, I very seldom find myself in that space anymore. And when I do, I'm like, oh boy. All right, let me look around here. So it's kind of flip-flopped from always being depressed and noticing the bright spot to now I'm in the bright spot more often. And now I notice the when I'm in depression.
Exactly. That is
Yes.
perfect. That's the agency. Exactly. Because here's the thing. None of us are perfect all the time. This is not about perfect or perfection. This is about process. It's
Yes.
about the process. Now we don't get to control all the outcomes. No matter how good our input is, we do not get to control all the outcomes. And so when we notice and take responsibility for how it's showing up or what's showing up in our lives, then we have agency to build what we want. So when we have these moments or experiences that we don't like or these triggers, then we get to say, okay, so let's take something like depression, and this is the thing that you may be dealing with. So what we want to do is minimize the triggers so that when it shows up, it shows up less frequently, or sometimes it still shows up frequently, but it doesn't last as long. So we have greater intervals of peace, or when it shows up, it may be I used to be depressed for 3 days at a time. Like for me, when I was in the midst of my mess, like if I was triggered, it would take anywhere from 3 to 10 days to come out of it. Like you say, now it's like if something may come up, it might last 3 minutes, maybe 3 hours. It's not lasting 3 days. But the goal is not, I don't stress if it shows up. I don't panic and believe that, oh, I haven't healed. No, I now can recognize my agency in it. And so that's sometimes what people are stuck is this belief that there's some state of perfection where nothing ever goes wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a lot of times that's what I talk about with some of my women clients is they will set a goal or they will have a vision of what they want, you know, their life to be like or their future to be like, and they will make it, okay, quote unquote, they'll make it. And then something goes wrong. And it's like they want to go all the way back to the beginning when they didn't have that, whatever it was. And I'm like, no. That's just a little rock in the road. Go around it. Go over it. But you're going to have those still. It doesn't mean you stop living. Life is
Right.
messy, man. It's just messy. And
Yeah.
you know, if you're not okay with living your best life as much as possible and dealing with the messy when it comes along, you haven't made it to wisdom yet, I don't think.
Yes. Wisdom
Living
is living in the mess, living in
the
the
mess. I love that. Oh my
mess.
goodness. I love it. Well, I have three. We're almost out of time, so I want to give you an opportunity to just share anything that you feel like that you want to share about your business or about your books so that our audience can go and check it out. And then I have three questions that I end every session with.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll just quickly say the 7X's is on pre-order. I would love, love, love for people to support the work of 7X's, and it's 7X's, the spelling out the word 7X's.com. There are a couple of resources on there, and on the 7X's.com is where you will find the Seeds Quiz,
Oh,
Subtle
yes.
Experiences of Emotional Disempowerment. Is a you must take quiz. So, and
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna go do
it
it.
takes 2 minutes. Yeah, it takes 2 minutes to take it. So, and it's just really to get people to understand that it's not something that you do always. It's like, but what are the experiences that you're bringing into adulthood to create this life? Because we sometimes think that we become adult and we just leave behind whatever we got. It's like it doesn't work that way. Like you, this is the suitcase you get before you leave, and then you show up in adulthood with it, and you open it up, and you're like, "Oh, there's a lot of useful stuff in here." You have to go through that suitcase, right?
That's
And so,
right.
so that's what it's about. So please take the 7X's quiz, and I would love it if people would support the work and pre-order the 7X's book. And it's nice to be in a movement where people are trying to transform themselves and then see how that shows up and transform the world. So you have to be in
Yes.
community with people to do that.
100%. Thank you so much for that. And I'm very grateful that you have this work that you're doing. It's very much needed in the world right now.
Thank
Okay,
you.
here are my three final questions. The first one, can you please close your eyes? Okay. I want you to describe what you see in your mind when I say wise woman.
I do see age. I see an older woman full of wisdom. She's sitting at like a water, a stream. I'm not sure what she's collecting, but she's sitting at the water. With maybe a little bit, maybe she's collecting shells or something like that. And but she's alone and content in a space of peace. That might be the extrovert in me. I mean, the introvert rather than might be the introvert in me. But she's alone, just kind of collecting, sitting at a stream.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. You can open your eyes. Okay, thank you. That's very great. All right, the next question or the next thing is, where do you like to roam?
I like to walk a lot. I walk a lot for I prefer to run, but I'm nursing an injury right now. And so interestingly, maybe this is relevant. I like to live in spaces and be in spaces where I can literally walk outside of my door without getting in my car. And so when you
Yes.
ask, would I like to roam? The answer that comes to mind is wherever I am. Like I like to be in a space where I can roam, where I don't have to get in a car and drive somewhere.
Yeah.
And so that's very important to me, that I am in a space that has room to roam, right
Oh,
where I am.
that's perfect. Thank you. I love the answers to these questions. I mean, when I'm putting them all together, eventually into some sort of, fun piece of poetry or prose. I'm
Yeah, I
not sure
love it.
yet, but gathering them is wonderful. Okay, and so the last question is, what makes you restless in a good way?
Oh, writing makes me restless. Like trying to finish the book, or if I have an article in my head. I'll tell you this quick story. When my husband and I both finished our PhDs at the same time, he started a year ahead of me. And so we were both working on our dissertations at the same time. And one of the big fights we had, because you can imagine the stress of two kids and two parents working on two school age kids and two
Ooh.
PhDs, one of the biggest fights we had during that time was that I yelled at him because he went to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. right? Like a month before the dissertations were due. So I'm still up work. And I'm like, you're going to bed? He looked at me like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, yes, I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. I'm not, you know. But I'm like, how can you rest? Like, what, in the middle of writing, like, I cannot. When I'm writing, my mind does not turn off. And it doesn't matter if it's a dissertation, a poem, an article, a book, but when I am writing, my mind does not turn off.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love that. I love it. Well, you've got a lot to say. There you go. So thank you for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Julie.
All right, Rosina, thank you. And we will see you the next time. Folks, make sure you look at the show notes. You'll have all the, I will have all the links to pre-order Seven Exits and also to take the seeds quiz. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.